I was asking the Lord earlier this week, you know, it's always nice to have a like fresh word. You know, I'll talk to Terry or Steve, and they're like, "Yeah, God's, you know, working through me on this." And so I asked God, and he said, "Look back at something I did 7 years ago." You know. Well, you know, I was thinking about that because he said his word never stales. So it's as fresh as the day it was given to me way back then.
Amen.
And then I realized, like, I speak the same thing all the time. So, I mean, you literally will probably have heard this, you know, a couple dozen times from me over the past 7 years. I pretty much have one message. Tammy has this quizzical look on her face of what is happening.
Kingdom, right?
I talk about kingdom relationship all the time. That's pretty much all I talk about, different aspects of it. So we're going to stay right there. And if you've heard it before, you obviously need to hear it again because God told me to tell you this again.
Amen.
Or maybe I just need to hear it again because I actually do listen to myself talk. So Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Heavenly Father, just help us to hear what you want to speak to us collectively and individually. And help this truth to sink in so deep that it becomes our reality. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Actually, back then, I spoke twice on this passage because I was just enamored by the fact that he would set up a table in the presence of mine enemies and expect me to just relax. You know, and the reality of his presence is what I had spoken on way back then. You know, just hit me that you can really go through anything in life if you're more focused on him than on any circumstance. And I think so often we get challenged in life, and life circumstances overwhelm and stuff because our focus is in the wrong place. And then I think even of the worship service today, you know, I've heard people say, you know, "I just want to go to revival." And I'm like, go anywhere I am. That should be your response. You are a walking revival if you are always aware of his presence in your life. There is nothing greater than the presence of God in your life. Nothing. There's no name above it. So, what I want to talk about in this passage today is the most important word I see in this passage today. And I think it's a word that we understand very little, and we definitely don't submit to in its proper manner, and therefore, a lot of his church tend to live their life inept, impotent. And I believe that we are called to live a life of victory in this world today. Matter of fact, I believe wherever I go, my shadow should heal people because I see it in the Word. Graves should open up and people should come to life because I see it in the Word. And if he'll do it, or if he did it then, why not today? So what's wrong? A lot of times we live life of what's wrong. I've never been a what's wrong person. You know, here's the fact for my life. And I don't know your facts, but grab hold of this one. It's a good one. Anytime the Lord's told me to do something, like, go heal that person, and I obey, he's done it. He's never failed me. Ever. There's been plenty of times I've just went and did things and didn't even ask him. And I didn't see the results I was looking for. But anytime he has led me to do something and I've obeyed him, he has performed what his word to me was. All the time. So here's the problem I see with the church today and why the church isn't as effective as he's called it to be is they don't understand lordship. See, this whole passage is great for our life, but it starts as the Lord. You know, the fact is we worship God, we say praise the Lord, and we haven't made him Lord. This is a challenging word, and I don't mean to be condemning in any way at all. It's really good to see you. Buses are back. You know, we have to understand lordship. We function outside of his will because we don't understand he is Savior and Lord. We love to accept salvation, and thank God we do. We're called to be a witness to the world, to bring them into knowing Jesus. But if that's all there is, they don't live beyond the cross, and we're called to live beyond the cross now. Matthew 6 says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." I want all of you to practice that this week. "What you will eat," now some of you, as soon as the service is over, are going, "Where are we going for food?" "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear." I worry sometimes mine's expanding. Sometimes, you know, you look down and you're like, "I used to be able to see my toes." "Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Some of us need to understand our value to God. He set the price. And he said it higher than any of us combined could pay. You're pretty valuable. "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the fields grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes grass of the fields, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." But I could have skipped all the rest and just went to the "but." "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So, our priority in life, once we come to Christ, is this: to seek first his kingdom. Why? Because you just became part of the kingdom of God, and it would behoove you to seek to know every aspect of that kingdom. You know, if I blindfolded you, threw you in a container, and all of a sudden you arrived in some distant land, it would behoove you to figure out where you are and how to function. Okay? We don't spend enough time figuring out who we are in God and how to function in God. See, the church should be having dominion in this world. Instead of taking a back seat and watching all this nonsense go on. Why? Because he is Lord in the kingdom. A kingdom is the governing influence of a king over his territory, impacting it with his personal will, purpose, and intent, producing a culture, values, moral, and lifestyle that reflects the king's desires and nature for his citizens. That's the definition by Miles Monroe. What am I saying? This world should look like how he wants it to look. Why? Because the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And it's your job to make it look that way. And it starts with recognizing him as king in his kingdom. He is Lord. Every king is a Lord. As Lord, he owns the domain and everything in it. Adonai means proprietor or owner, translated Lord. Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. The word makes it pretty clear who he is and what is his. Now, I have a lot of points and I have a lot of verses. And I, hear this. Hear what God's saying in each one of these passages. But, you know, sometimes we got to get a little excited. No, really, and I'm probably one of the more demonstrative people in the church. So it's natural for me. It was funny, we were sitting in a group of people and we were talking about the word introvert and extrovert, right? And everybody was given their definitions and who they thought they were and all this. By the end of it, it was decided that I was the only introvert in the room. So that puts things in perspective of what I am asking. No, we need to get this. It's time we get excited about serving the Lord. Every day is an opportunity to do something to build his kingdom if we'll just be aware of his presence and what he's doing. And if he's Lord, we'll be looking at it and saying, what can we do today? Submission to a king as Lord positions the citizens to receive from the king. How many would like to receive from the king? Position yourself. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Whenever we submit to a king, we come under his welfare. The citizens of the kingdom are the personal responsibility of the king. We submit by declaring he's Lord. Now, I don't know how you guys want to live your life. I really don't. You could sit and tell me. And then I could see if that, how you live bears it out. But some people that are close to me know that I've always said, I don't want to go through stuff. I don't want to experience anything that doesn't bring me pure joy. No, I'm being serious. Cruises bring me joy. You can see to my face on the pictures, right? So I do those things, and I don't want to go through sickness. I don't want to go through disease. I don't want to go through all that to learn stuff. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, perseverance through persecution and all these things. I was like, eh, not me, God. How about you just let me, I'll believe you if you tell me. I don't need the experience to believe it. I don't want the experience to believe it. What do I want to do? I want to position myself under the Lordship of Jesus so he's responsible for it all. Then I can go through life and say, your problem, not mine. Your problem, not mine. Terry, no, your problem, not mine. No, really. Do you understand what's at our disposal when we recognize who he is in our life? When we make him Lord, we can submit to him. He's responsible for it all. Well, that person's sick. Go pray for him. It's his responsibility. I just get to be part of the fun. If he's not Lord, the weight bears on you. And honestly, I don't know how you bear it. And there's so many in the church that are succumbing to the weight that they put themselves under because they haven't understood the concept that he's Lord. They love that he's Savior, but they think freedom is doing whatever they want. True freedom is doing whatever he wants. And when our heart aligns with that truth, Jesus only did what the Father wanted. He lived to please the Father. He set the example of how we're to live today with him as Lord. That's when true freedom comes. That's when we see him bear the weight of everything we go through in life. I've watched people go through the most tragic things with a smile. And I know he's Lord. It's the only way. Submission to the Lord makes your life his responsibility. The king must be first in everything. Otherwise, he isn't Lord. You get to do whatever you want to do if whatever you want to do is please him. Otherwise, if you want to do something that isn't pleasing to him, he's not Lord. And there's times each of us, I'm sure, are challenged to elevate ourselves above him to do what we want to do. And then we wonder why things turn out the way they turn out. You know, I always think it's funny. Well, this person's an atheist. And it's like, there's like no such thing. You know, every person in times of trouble will cry out to help to God. Every person. But why are they crying out to somebody they don't believe in? Because they believe in him. How do I know? Because it says every knee shall bow. Every, it includes everyone. Every knee, both of them. One's not excluded. Will declare what? Is Lord. There will be a day. Luke 9:23 says, then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. Matthew 10:37, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Matthew 8:21, another disciple said to him, look, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. He is above every other love and loyalty. He is above every goal, every dream, and every ambition. He must be first or he isn't Lord. These are some challenging things to put in perspective on how we live. But if we want to see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then we better be about changing this earth. I love what Jesus said and when he sent him out. Go and do all these things. You know, we like to say, well, you can't heal the sick. I can heal the sick. I can raise the dead. I can cleanse the lepers. I can. Why? Because he said go. He didn't say, Tammy, you go, and I'm going to do this. Now put it in perspective. Who's the source of the power of everything that's going on? He is. Why? He's Lord. Who is he requiring to participate in it? You. It's his requirement. He's not going to do it unless you say yes. But when he sent them out, he gave them authority to do. You have been sent out with authority to do. It's in the word. What's the problem? You're not recognizing him as Lord. I know I said a lot there that needs to be worked its way out, but just trust me, I'm right. Trust in the Lord. He'll make your path straight. There is no such thing as lordship without obedience. Luke 6:46 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. See, you can't declare he owns you and do whatever you please. In the kingdom of heaven, there is no weakened citizen. If Jesus is Lord, you cannot live for him on Sunday only. For an hour and a half, if I'm speaking, maybe longer. And for yourself the rest of the week. Jesus is either Lord of all or not Lord at all. Now, I know my heart in all this. Is to see you rise up and become who you are called to be in him. But I'm really hoping that Holy Spirit is challenging you on this principle, because I think many of us are at times bearing the weight of life unnecessarily. And it all comes down to this basic principle. How are we going to relate to him? I get he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I get all that. But there should be this awe. Not only of what he's done, but who he is in my life. That should always make me submit my will to his will. And these are really exciting times. I listened to Kelly's word And it, you know, it was encouraging. You know, there is a mess all around us. You know, if I read the Bible correctly, there was a mess ever since Adam screwed up. It's kind of been messy. Cain killed Abel and all this nonsense in Sodom and Gomorrah and oh my goodness. You know, now it's a little more public. And the weight of all this chaos rests upon his church. And you say, what? Yeah, you're the ones with dominion. I love Bonnie's attitude towards a lot of things. I have this idea, you know. And she just like waits for God to open up doors. And then she's not really surprised. You know, she'll say she is, but she really expects it. How do I know? Because she's forerunning it. If you expect it, you're going to take action upon it. That's what faith really is, right? Hope in action. It's called faith. You know, some of you, if you really get this message, are going to drive by cemeteries and just walk through them. Just to see. Stop in the hospital. See what happens. Is he Lord? Is he Lord? Too many people settle for just a Savior, and he wants to be so much more. Living under lordship means giving up personal ownership. If we think ownership is ours, we make ourselves Lord. In his kingdom, there's only one Lord. Relinquishing ownership puts us into the position of full access to the resources of the kingdom. There is no economic crisis in the kingdom of God. There are no shortages. There is no lack. There is more than enough. I came that you might have life and have it to the full. Others say in abundance. If we are only stewards and not owners, we can freely give as the Lord has given, knowing he has no limitations to supply all we need. You know, the concept's pretty easy. We go to a restaurant, my family, I say, I'm buying. They get whatever they want. No, really. That's how we should be in our Father's house. I'll put it in a different perspective. I own a business. Employees have no problem spending my money. Some even think they have a right to spend it. Jesus says, give away your car. Wasn't yours anyway. He knows you need to get from this place to that place. There's no ownership under his lordship. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves the cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. If you feel you live in lack, I'm going to challenge you on lordship. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Another point. But I'm doing really good, just so you know. I just wanted to let you guys know it so later you can say, that was really good. Because, no, this is really good stuff. This is really good stuff. And I'm really excited about it, more than you guys can see my demonstrative nature come through. Because I actually believe God's going to radically change us because of his lordship. I believe his people are going to rise up and grab a hold of the truth of who he is in us. And all of a sudden, all things become possible to us. Why? Because we just know who he is and what he's doing. We see it and we get to participate. Oh, yeah, us. Really. I expect services where we come in, worship God, and instead of preaching and teaching, we almost have to claw our way into it because there's so many testimonies about what God's doing in your daily life. See, it's time the people of God become aware of his presence every moment, every day, and let him part of our lives because he wants to do things in it. And then we see nothing's impossible with God. Oh, you know, I love some of the, Bud was the perfect one. He'd always want to tell me, hey, I went to Walmart or something. God had me go down this aisle. And I wasn't even looking for something down that aisle. But then there was that person. I was led to that. It was always, okay, God, I really don't need to go there, but why are you sending me there? What? He was like probably a few steps ahead of me. You know, I have the concept. He was living it out. I want to, you know, the only one I can think that was like that was Enoch. Right? He so wanted to please God, just said, ah, just come up with me. You know, I think that's kind of where Bud got. Because all he would talk to me, you know, the last year or so was about wanting to get in that place, that he was just always aware of the presence of God and what God wanted to do with him. You know, my daughter wrote a song, you know, Let's Go on an Adventure. That's what we're on. Now, I've gotten a little older. I don't really go for the roller coaster type of adventures. Like, you know, going down the little river is kind of nice. You know, my adventure threshold, you know, I get excited a lot easier now than I used to. It doesn't have to stoke up, you know. But then I'm also like in awe when somebody comes to know the Lord. You know, I talk about signs and wonders and miracles. It would be cool to walk through a cemetery and have them all pop out. No, really, it'd be cool. But you know what's more cool? When you have an altar call and somebody accepts Jesus. Yeah. It's more of a miracle. Why? Born again. Amen. New life. And what God can do with it. It's awesome. Amen. Lordship. Thanksgiving is an acknowledgement of the King's Lordship. We should be the most thankful people there are on earth, no matter what we go through. Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. That means now too. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That means ours too. Sometimes we think, it's only then, you know, and it's only going to be there. I believe anything he did then, he'll do now, and anything he's told us about, great, but I'm going to pull it into now. Still working on the patience part of it all. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, thanksgiving is recognition that the problem's his. And he's rising me above it. I've been learning, get up in the morning, hop in the car to go to work. And I look at the day and I was like, oh, thank you, God, for such a beautiful day. And I don't care if it's pouring out, if the sky's black, if it's hailing, which it was the other day. You know, I'm choosing to be thankful. Why? Because he has something for this day that is just supernatural. There's nothing natural about God. Quit taking him for granted. That was meant to be a harsh word. Just thought I'd tell you. Sometimes we're way too complacent. Sometimes, you know, we come to church and we do our thing and we're like, are we even aware of the magnitude of his presence in this place? Do you know the power of God that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is here right now? Most of you don't believe it. That's a fact. Why? Because actions, I would see it if you believed it. I'll include myself in that. There's too much knowing he's Lord, but not making him Lord. We can't be a people of just knowledge. It'll get you nowhere. Too many people will acknowledge him as Lord and have not made him Lord. Be a people that have made him Lord. I'm coming down the back stretch, but I started late. So, and I haven't talked long for a while. I haven't. I remember I had somebody speak one time, and I asked them to speak on something, and I'd never heard them speak before, and they had like a novel to preach. It went like 2.5 hours. So you can bear with me for another few minutes. Recognizing him as Lord versus knowing or making him Lord. That's what we're talking about now. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. I just wanted to sink in. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Luke 13, verse 23 says, and he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I don't know you. Where are you from? Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Now, you know, as some of these passages don't put the fear of God in you. And I mean fear in the context of an absolute reverence of the awesomeness of God. Here's people that went about doing things they believed were God's business. Doing it in his name. Some of us would look at it and say, wow, God's doing miracles through that ministry. And God looks and says, I don't even know who you are. So if you wonder why I'm about relationship, I don't know what else to be about. It's not enough for me to just recognize his position. I need to know his heart, and I need to know he knows mine, so I can understand the nonsense I do sometimes. He's got to be Lord. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." You know, how can I do this well? There has to be an urgency in our hearts. We can't be the ones beating at the door saying, "Lord, Lord, let me in. Let me in." Why do we live that way? Why do we live unprepared? Why do we not make it our purpose to know him as Lord? Why do we not make it our purpose to make him Lord? Why do we not make it our purpose to ask him what he wants to do today in and through our lives? Why do we bear the weight we're not meant to bear? Exactly. They thought they knew him, but they were going about their business. See, the ones that knew him knew he could come anytime and were waiting and ready. Are you waiting and ready? Philippians 2:5, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So you can stand with me. Romans 12 says this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." I challenge you, if he's Lord, every moment of your day is this. To present yourself for him for his purpose. See, it's only when you declare him Lord when you declare you are His. Only then can you say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, for I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for He's with me. His rod and His staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table in the strangest places. Why? Because in Him I have peace. I have security. I have protection. I have provision because He's with me. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. I live the most abundant life. I need for nothing because He's my Lord. Surely His goodness, His mercy, His love will follow me, follow you all the days of your life. And we will dwell in His house, the house of the Lord, forever. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, let your word speak. And let us truly reconcile with our own spirit and soul, our own being, your lordship in our life. For your glory. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that you speak directly to our spirits and directly to our hearts. And I thank you for a people that are anxious to receive of you. I just pray that this word would be fruitful in them. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.